When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at Remarkable.com today.
Hey, welcome to my show, Feng Shui Your Way on UK Health Radio. I'm Janine Lo, your go-to Feng Shui consultant and Chinese astrologer. I've been helping people transform their lives for over 20 years, from private clients to big names and businesses, and I can't wait to share my tips and stories with you. Today, I'm joined by the insightful Maria Green, a traditional Feng Shui consultant with over 25 years of experience. Her journey began in what she calls the flat from hell, a moment that sparked a lifelong passion for working with energy and space. Maria trained under one of the world's top Feng Shui grandmasters and has since helped people across the globe create balance and clarity in their lives. In this episode, we'll explore how Feng Shui really works, hear powerful client stories, and learn simple ways to shift the energy in your home or workplace. Hello, Maria.
Hi.
Right. So obviously I've got to start with the sentence flat from hell. So Can you tell me what that was all about?
Oh my goodness. So that was very, very late 1980s into 1990. And everything should have been good. I literally just got married. We'd moved into a newly converted flat. It looked like things were going well. And within about 6 months, I found out my job was being relocated, so I was going to be made redundant. My husband was sent on secondment to, I think it was Italy at the time. The people who owned the flat below rented it out, and there was a guy who was dealing drugs, leaving his dog overnight. So the poor dog was barking all night, particularly if it got trapped in one of the rooms because the door closed. I complained about that, and I was threatened then with physical harm. Wow. And things didn't go well. And this is about the time, if you remember, of property, you know, the recession and property values dropped, and so we couldn't sell anyway. We'd have lost too much money. So yeah, things went quite badly. And at some point, someone showed me an article in a newspaper that had about feng shui, and I thought it was that connection that you sometimes have with, you have it with people as well, that aha, yeah, you know, that is the word, or that is the feng shui is the thing that describes that feeling you get when you go somewhere,
yeah,
where, you know, sometimes you go in and you feel automatically comfortable, you want to stay there, and other times you just think, not if you gifted me this house would I take it. And so yeah, that was the connection. It was just a description or a two words that described that feeling and that concept, and yeah, it was from there, really. I was absolutely fascinated.
So what you're saying is, did you realize that it was the flat, or when you
You know, obviously when you read articles about it, someone will say there's a horror story, or this happened, it was etc. But I'd realized that, you know, I wasn't doing anything wrong, but everything was going wrong. And, you know, after a while you sort of think, well, it can't just be me. And so once I started studying and finding out a little bit more about it, I found out the orientation of the flat was one of the problems. It's northeast southwest orientation properties, particularly at that time, and then since a slight improvement now, but they are often very, very tricky. And the flat was in a building that was on the same orientation. So it was facing the same way within the building. So I had northeast and northeast, and I had a really, really tricky door, which is called in our traditional feng shui called ghost gate. So I was getting an awful lot of negative energy, shall we describe it? And things were going to hell, basically. So yeah.
So what did you do? That's what they're going to say. Come on.
Well,
Break
at
the
that point, I didn't really know, and it was one of those very, very difficult to measure in hindsight. When I got the readings, and I showed when I, once I'd met Grandmaster Chan, I showed him. He said, "Well, there's not really much you can do because you were in a tight space. You could perhaps angle the door, perhaps do this or that." But effectively, I was chased out by the
Oh, people below.
guy who was kind of squatting, but in the flat below, having been threatened with my husband abroad. He could manage to get a secondment to Scotland, and so I basically went to Scotland with him, which is where I met Grandmaster Chan, who'd just become a feng shui master, and had the opportunity to start helping him and learning with him. So it's sort of it was quite a transformational time, and often properties like that can be. They create this change where you're desperate, but something good comes from it.
Yeah, it's interesting you should say that because people buy build houses north to south, don't they? It's, that's, builders, obviously there's lots of orientations, but that's it. In fact, I didn't know about northeast, southeast, but I wasn't trained in trade, so it's not my thing. My friend Lynette, she's been trained in trade. She was like, you must come and do it. But I was actually being trained by, I just do it very quickly, Joe Yap, because it was something that I did it because to begin with, I was an intuitive and I needed something to hide behind because people didn't like it. So I learned feng shui and then there's some felt something needed more. So then I learned metaphysics and I find metaphysics is a being a rooster works well for me. So what's can you explain what the difference between the feng shui is?
Well, I think it's quite interesting because a lot of it is about quantum physics, isn't it? It's once you focus on energy, but the energy is already there. And traditional feng shui, particularly Choy style, but obviously any imperial, so the stuff that goes back 4,000 years, the basis of this is the understanding that the energy is already there. So people don't need to just have to believe it. It's there whether they like it or not. I often describe it as the weather. You've got weather, whether you believe in weather or not, as a concept, it's there. So this is understanding the energy around us. And when we put buildings on it, obviously that creates a certain type of energy and different forms depending on the orientations. So you don't have to believe it, but it's the combination of what's above you, the heavens and the earth, and then the humans inside. So it's these three chi's, as you call them, and this combination. And so then when you put a building on it, you've got effectively a body. So this then contains this energy. And sometimes it can be great combinations that really suit people, and sometimes it can be somewhat less supportive. So it's then about knowing how to use that best to get people to live happily and comfortably.
You sort of answered my next question because I was saying, for those who are new to Feng Shui, how would you explain the importance of the energy in the space? And one way, it is it's that you can't see it, like you said, like the weather.
Absolutely.
But what would you say the importance of the energy is?
Well, I mean, it influences everything. It influences, if you've got a business, it influences whether you've got good turnover, whether you've got good staff, whether whether you're healthy, whether your relationship is balanced and harmonious, or whether one or other of the partnership have to work harder because the other person isn't supportive, or if there's no space, like particular flat from hell had no space for the lead male position. So hence, he didn't have a space in that flat. He barely spent any time in that flat until, we ran away from it, because there was no space for the lead male. I was lucky enough that, I wasn't single when I moved in, because I probably would never have met him. It's just there was no. So it influences absolutely every aspect, whether finances, whether you're supporting your building, or whether it's supporting you, just absolutely every aspect of life. Sometimes it's not big stuff. Sometimes it's just something slightly off, but it's across the board.
Yeah. I when people ask me about, oh, what's bad energy and what's good energy, and I say, well, when you go into a coffee shop and you go, oh, I want to sit here and have a coffee, that's good energy. Smell the coffee and you know maybe they've had it feng shui or maybe they're intuitively done it, and then go to another one, you don't even want to pick up the cup.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That is a major thing. I'm just going to go into a little bit here. It says you're also a chief examiner for the Chew Foundation and contributed to many respected publications. So can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, I'm not chief examiner anymore, but I am now treasurer for the Choi Foundation. So but the Choi Foundation is a research association based on Choi Star Feng Shui, which is Star Master Chan, Grand Master Chan, brought over from his master, so great grandmaster Chu Yen. So he taught Master Chan from the age of 14 when Master Chan was a boy, and said you need to go and translate it into Western mindset. They need to know this. And this was just at the same time I was reading about it in the newspapers, and the kind of more Westernized versions was coming out. So obviously his master could foresee that they needed to spread this. So there are students throughout, well, throughout the world, you know, India, America, Europe, Russia, just everywhere, France, Germany, Switzerland. So we have a standardized system of training so that people can learn the course and learn how to do the thing. So I was chief examiner for about 12 years, I think. So now we have a great management team made up of European people. But so all the members are represented, all the member countries are represented. But it's the Choi Foundation, so that just carries on researching, understanding, trying to spread a little bit of knowledge about how this works.
I think that's interesting because so he came from here to Scotland, which is to live, which is a quite a weird, not weird, of course it's not weird, it's the wrong word. He why did he choose Scotland?
I think he first came into sort of the outskirts of London's area to start with, but when he was wanting to pursue his studies, Scotland, particularly Edinburgh, it's great for knowledge, it's great for education, it's got that chi. It's really one of the it's a fun thing to do because you count the spires, because in Feng Shui, particularly in the form school, you have those anything that looks like a spire is like a pen or a pencil.
Yeah.
So anything that's got that is good for education. I always wish more schools had a few more spires, at least visible from them. When I was looking for schools for my children, I was looking to see, you know, I looked at the horizon, like, are there any spires near that could, you know, represent this would be a good school for them? But fortunately, not where I live. But yeah, so Edinburgh was particularly for him was chosen because of that, the energy that was great for it, passing on education.
It's interesting to say Edinburgh. So I went to Edinburgh. I think I went to watch someone play golf in Finest, and I got there and I just loved it. And I went to where the sea begins in that cove, and the energy, it was a quite a powerful day, and it was like the end of the world. The energy from that particular bout of the sea was amazing. I always think when I go to Scotland, it's a place of knowledge. It's obviously really good for feng shui with its mountains and its rivers. And for people who don't do feng shui, having your house with the house behind bigger or a tree if you're in the centre of the a town, and water in nowadays tends to be roads. I actually live by the sea, so I actually have the sea as my road. So that yeah, I'm lucky girl, but. But I did plan it, obviously. I didn't just
Really?
decide to
It
do
does
it.
make house hunting harder, though, doesn't it?
Oh, goodness. I one of the things that I did for a long time was buy houses, do them up and sell them, and then buy elsewhere using feng shui to do that. And then buying in a certain areas to make money out of it. And what people don't, some people just see feng shui as something that you do in the house. They don't see that feng shui, and I'm not talking about feng shui consultants who can be trained to do it as a job, but you can actually make money with the knowledge of using feng shui and timings and directionology to make money. And you know, I had paid my mortgage off, and suddenly I saw this huge big star in the northwest, and I was like, oh, what should I do? Okay, I'll take some money out of the company, and I started buying houses up there, out of my house. I use my house as a tool. Does that make sense? Do you use
Absolutely.
yours as a tool at all? At all?
This one is, I connect with this one. Funny enough, this is the same orientation as the house I used to live in Scotland, but just the other way around.
Okay.
And it's based on my year of birth, this is like my opposite. So the yin to my yang each time. So there's a real connection. So I think this one is perhaps less, although it has to work hard. I'm self-employed. My husband was self-employed. So it has to run two businesses and a family. So it really has to sort of like be fit. So
Yeah.
it's, there are times when I sort of look around, I think, something's a little stale. What's going on? Or, I was expecting to hear from such and such, or this was supposed to happen. And I go around and I have to just, double check that things are, perhaps not getting cluttered, or perhaps it's, I have trouble with teenage boys closing their blinds and not letting the daylight in. So that's one of my things. So come on, this energy is not allowed in my space. They're not allowed black bedrooms. There are certain things I just, they know they're not allowed because of the law.
It's funny, I went away once, and my son being a teenager, I don't have any parties where I'm away. I will know. So, obviously he did, because they do. And his words were, do not move anything. You'll know. And if anything's moved, then, we'll all be in trouble, because it's all feng shui. And it's funny, all his friends, as they've grown up, they've come to me at different times in their life, for support in something. Oh, it's not going well with my girlfriend, or, I'm hating my job or whatever. And, they've come back because they've lived my life in my house.
Yeah.
They've done it. But I want to just go back to something you said there. So, I'm a double rooster, so my secret friend is a dragon. I'm using very basic words here, secret friend. And I was used to buying houses and moving on and doing up and moving on. And I went into this house to buy to do up, and then I found out it went on the market in 1929, but was built in 1928, which made it a dragon house. So I've never been able to leave it. I just, as much as I know it's time that you and I should move on to a different place, it feels like, how can anything be as comfortable as this has happened? Do you ever look at the date of birth of the house that you buy, or?
Well, when I'm working with people on home consultation, I look at how the year of birth of the people and then the compass readings of the house. So I take the spine of the house because that's where it's planted now. So it's in that case, it's less about where it was, but more about where it is now, and see how that connects. So sometimes, and you see it on TV property programs where one partner will love a house and go in and say, I'm feeling this, and the other's not feeling it. And that's usually to do with their year of birth and then the readings of the property and whether they connect. And that's how I describe mine. Mine's a yin to yang. It's, we connect like jigsaw pieces. I used to say would be like a perfect husband, but people used to look at me really kind of strange. But, I've bonded. And when I walked into it, I wasn't sure if it's haunted or whether there was something else. And I actually said to my husband, could you come and check this? Don't know whether it's just the fact that it was an elderly person and maybe something untoward happened, or whether this is the house, because of that connection. So yeah, so I look at people and say, okay, well, this one doesn't suit you as much, or sometimes it's the front, you can use a front door, but you might be actually better day to day coming in the back door because that's got better readings for you. I usually use the compass for the actual existing compass reading and the people. But you can do that with group dynamics as well. Or if you're buying a property for someone, you can look at it. I've seen some great properties and I said, it's lovely, but it doesn't suit you. So you need to be aware that you're going to be really quite stressed by it or worn out by it, or you're going to have to use your energy to control it. So those are all things that come from the person's year of birth, and then in my case, the readings. But yeah.
So don't go anywhere, everyone. We're going to return after the message from our sponsors and talk some more to Maria.
The station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio. The station that makes you feel good.
Hey, hey, we're back. So, Maria, I was interested in you said about these property programs because they fascinate me often. And a lot of people, they'll, oh, I think I'm going to buy a house and I'm going to use it, make a profit on it, or I'm going to use it and I'm going to rent it out. And you see that they do all this, they overdo the work. Often they buy these properties and they overdo the work. And one of the things that I do, like you, people say, is this the right house for me? Yeah. One of the things that I've learned is people don't like my honesty. They value it. If they go against it and they go, oh, that didn't work. Do you come across that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's why I don't often get asked to work with estate agents, because you can help people sell things, but you can also tell people not to buy something. And yes, I did have a I did saw a house for a friend of mine, and we'd done some successful work with her previous property. There were some bits missing, there was ways to stop. So she'd actually they'd come into a decent sum of money. And they wanted to fund sell the property, and I went to look at it. It was absolutely stunning, just beautiful courtyards with, sent around, built around the central courtyard, etc. And I said, well, there's no way to hold the money in this property. You know, if you're going to go for it, you need to be aware that this is a problem and you're going to have to work hard. It's like almost a sticking plaster approach. You're going to have to try and counteract this, but there's nothing to change it unless you physically change the building. And so she decided not to take it, found somewhere else, which is lovely and really supportive, and that's great. But then she said, well, I've found out who now lives there, and you're exactly right. That is exactly what happened. Money kept going out. So yeah, I think the most successful times when people do listen to you is if they've already had you in their home, they've taken your advice, they've seen the proof, so they know that it can benefit them. It's a bit of a leap if people come to it cold and then they're suddenly told this house isn't the one for them.
I know. Sometimes what's the word, skepticism comes in, or you just have the wife that's interested and the husband that isn't, and I love that in one way because one, I know I can prove them wrong, as long as I do what I say. And the other, seeing that, like you say, that aha moment is amazing. I was brought to a place called Southwater, which isn't too far away. And one side of the road, everyone was getting divorced, and the other side of the road was fine. So she had already bought it, and she wanted to sell it. So my job was coming in to sell it, which was the easy bit next door. And if she wanted to stay there, then that was never going to work. I mean, she'd brought in shamans and all sorts of people to do that. So if you have you ever had that where you've had to sell a house because the problem with the house is there,
I mean, sometimes people say, I don't know whether I want to stay or go. And it's quite clear, if you can quite clearly see the problem, put it that way. But it's for them to decide. So usually it's about building the energy to make it easier. So it's almost like a trampoline effect. So they can bounce onto the next property the easiest po possible. But yeah, I certainly have seen a property where, like you say, there's certainly the shape of property. Particularly Victorian properties where they extend out the back, so there's always a bit missing. And if that so happens on a row of houses, it's like the lead male, the father position. So I remember chatting to this lady, and we were working out quite what to do about this house that she was or wasn't sure whether to. And she clued in suddenly that actually, as she realised what was going on with her house, that then all the neighbours along the same row, exactly as you say, had the same bit missing. And oh, but they're divorced. And oh, yeah, she is single. And obviously, it was because in this case, the northwest was missing in each house, and that's the lead father position. And at the moment, as well, in what we call nine fate, this time phase, that's also where the leader energy is for everybody, not just lead men, as it were, in the home. So yeah, there's this that aha moment where people realize, and actually I had a friend who used to call it negative consolation. When you realize that actually it's not your fault, it's not down to you. There's something about the space that's causing this problem, you know, that make people feel a little bit like there's hope. You know, it's not just a flaw in them. It's, you know, there's some energy there.
Absolutely. And I generally, well, I haven't come across other than I did have a house that the woman kept miscarrying in, and it turned out the feng shui outside was not supporting the feng shui inside, and which obviously the outside is really powerful. And actually had someone had actually died on the line of where she
Gosh.
miscarried quite a lot. And she said to me, "So what do I do?" And I said, "You're going to move. You've been there 13 years. It comes with a lot of bad energy." But what I didn't realize that her husband was actually desperate to move. So it was amazing. We moved them into the most amazing house. I really happy with that. I love the journey through that had. So, okay, being devil's advocate, what are the most common patterns and mistakes you find that people do with feng shui?
I think the simplest one that you can see time and time again, and you can walk along the street and practically see this, as if you're at the front door and you can see right through. And if you think this is a bit graphic, so maybe I shouldn't use this as an example, but the front door is the mouth. That's letting the energy in. And then the back door, or the is the exit of energy. So if you can see from front to back, that energy is going straight through. It's not holding, it's not circulating, and the money can be opportunities. It can be the energy is luck, opportunities, money, anything that needs to. And if you're trying to sell it, obviously it's buyers. They just go through. They don't stay. So that is one of my simplest things. But equally, as you're walking along the street, you can define how the energy is being held on that plot. So with the male and female energy, the yin and the yang, as to what boundaries they have, you know, often because chi follows form, so the energy will follow the land form. And as you say, rightly, most of the energy is outside. It's getting into our bodies is the key bit. So it's holding on the property. So, you know, if somebody's got no fencing, then they're not holding any property. If they've got fencing or planting on one side of a house, the energy is only being held by one side, and that's the balance with male and female. So those two things, I think, that's yours for one. I'm sorry, I gave you two. There's just so many, but they're so simple. It's just, you know, getting the energy into the front door and holding it there are the two key things.
Hold that moment, Maria, because I want to come back to that. And we're just going to hear from our sponsors, and we'll speak to you the other side.
The station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio. The station that makes you feel good.
Hey, we're back. Now, Maria, it's really interesting you were saying when you look at houses. I gave a day's training to people who wanted to learn about houses. So I took them around. I live in a private estate in East Preston, and they couldn't believe that you could tell so much from the outside of the house. And one of the ones that really struck out to them, because I'd had them for a few hours teaching them, and then we went for the walk after lunch. And one of the houses was beautiful, absolutely beautiful. But one area where they got two swings, so it was the relation southwest, and then overgrown things. But the rest of the house looked really good, and there was no cars on the drive and anything. So I said to them after teaching them, "What do you think about that house then?" And they're, "Wow, yes, beautiful, beautiful, like this." And I was like, "Where is it wrong?" And they were like, "Well, that doesn't look very good." So I said, "What do you think this house would portray to you? Would you buy it?" And they're, "Oh, yeah, I buy it." I was like, "Okay, so we know the house looks beautiful, and then there's a really tatty area. There's no car on the drive. the grass needs cutting. Do you think anyone lives in it? You know, and by the end of it, none of them wanted to buy it. I would never have put one of my clients in it. So being me, I went back and found out about the house, and basically it was a divorce. You know, the whole it encumbered that sort of thing. So when you assess a house from the, well, how do you assess a house?
Well, starting from outside, assessing the balance, the yin and yang, male, female sides. Can you see the front door? You know, does the energy lead you to the front door? You sometimes see like a, I had a client eventually called it, oh yeah, that you mean the postman's path, because there was a shortcut. The postman would use from the pavement to the door, because their path didn't lead anywhere near it, sort of round the driveway, etc. So, you know, can you see the front door? Can the energy get to it? Sometimes even you get a clue because you get lost finding it. You know, so if I'm in the, certainly I've done this in the wilds of Scotland where you can't find it. Well, if I can't find it with an appointment, the energy is going to have trouble. So, and obviously people bringing good fortune to it would, you know, the postman with a, you know, a contract or something is not going to find it. So start with the outside, assessing the front garden, back garden, if it's got it. Then I start taking reading. So the front door reading with a compass, the back of the house, so the spine, and then the back door. And those three combined, I get set of calculations. And from that, you can look at what orientations and where those things are, who they represent in terms of who live in the property, and as I said, how their qua numbers fit with the people. And then room by room, looking at what energy is good, what we need to control, or, you know, are people in the, using the right energy for the right function? You know, it's all very well trying to have lovely, fresh, active energy, but if that's your bedroom, that's quite tricky. Equally, if your calm room is where you're supposed to be exercising or running a business, equally not going to work. So it starts from outside and then builds, but it's a bit like a 3D jigsaw, really. You know, you're building and using different part types of feng shui to get this whole very tailored picture, I suppose.
So I'm going to ask you a hard one. No, it's not really hard. Can you give me an example of a feng shui that you've done and the results in the most positive way? One of you know, without obviously naming names.
Yeah, I always have to be really careful. It's client confidentiality. People can talk about it as much as they like, but I can't, you know, name names. I did think about this, and it's one I asked for recommendations for a while ago when I was doing something on a website, or, you know, comments from people. And one client said, the quote started with, "You saved my life, you saved my family." And I was really blown away by that. And I'd known this lady for a long, long time, and she had been living in the 90s in a northeast southwest property that was really difficult, and she had been going through a very difficult time. She'd been left with a business that was in real financial trouble, without going into too much details. I don't think it would identify her, but really difficult position. And over the years, she's moved into separate properties, different properties. She got out of that one, and kept moving and finding better and better properties. And she found a lovely one she wanted to live in, was there years, and then she won the lottery. And it was a
Wow.
life-changing amount of money. And she was able to buy this home that she was renting, and she was getting, you know, housing benefits to allow her to live in a home that, but she wanted to stay there. And she won a lot of money.
It's
So I'd say
interesting.
that was, it doesn't happen to everybody.
No, I was talking to someone the other day, and the house was just magic for them. It just made everything happen. I have a missing an Art Deco house, so it was once one and split in. It was born as a dragon house. It was split in 1964 as a dragon house. My neighbour's got missing space, which is relationships. I had a missing space, which is good fortune. Me whacked a big pond in there, so it's not missing space and very active. And I think maybe that's why I find it hard to leave the house. It's been super supportive, and I think that's the thing about feng shui for people. Is that's what your house is meant to be. It is your tool. It's there to support you and give you what you want in life. You know, that's why.
I mean, Obviously, I wouldn't say no if I to winning the lottery, but actually, I don't have that in my Chinese horoscope. Lucky money is not my thing. I can earn money, but I can't, get lucky money. So okay, I don't win raffles very much either. But to give her a joke, I did point out to her that she actually worked really hard on that. She did some work on manifesting it too. But then again, she also had some really leaky water. And, I'd pointed out you really need to mend this. So, and we had done, a fair bit of work on this particular home, or I had given her advice. She'd done the work.
You done the work,
Like,
yeah.
she deserved this. And if you believe in karma, definitely, having gone through what she'd gone through, she was just getting back what she's entitled to. But she gave me some credit for it, and I'll take a tiny bit of that. But yes, I think, it depends what you want. A lot of pleasure I get is from people being happy in their homes, whether it's their baby sleeping through the night for the first time ever, or somebody, meeting a partner, or just saying we are really happy in our home now. There's less conflict. And sometimes people just say, I don't know if it's a coincidence, but since you've been dot dot dot, and I thought, well, you did change some things after I'd been, but I'll take it. I don't mind it being a coincidence. If you live happily in your house and are supportive, some of us don't want to, leave the world and be extremes, sort of fake rich and famous. We want happy, harmonious, healthy lives. And if Feng Shui can help do that, then it's, I'm happy.
Yeah, that's what I always say. I say a feng shui with the abundance, so that covers everything. So we haven't got much longer, actually. I can't believe how quickly this time's gone. So I'm just going to ask you one question. Could you give our listeners a tip that they could use now?
Okay, make sure the energy of your, I can't do one, the energy of your home has to be light and fresh and bright. So if you've got a dark, shadowy space, either put a lamp with a full spectrum bulb, something, make it light and bright, bring in the fresh yang energy. And look at the southeast of your property, whether it's your garden or your home space that's got money energy. Keep it fresh, light, maybe a nice plant. If you like running water and it's appropriate, i.e. it's not a bedroom or a bathroom, maybe some running water would be nice. But keep it tidy, fresh, looking great, not piles of stuff. Is that okay?
Yeah,
I can
perfect.
keep going, but
Yes, I know. They have to put unplug me. Okay. Where can people find you? We will be putting things on the website, but
Great.
what give us a if they're listening rather than looking at the website, where can people find you?
My business is called Dynamic Spaces. So I'm on Instagram as Maria Green Dynamic Spaces, and Facebook just as Dynamic Spaces. And if you're interested in the Choi Foundation, that's Chue Foundation. There's stuff there about traditional feng shui and where you can find us if you need us.
Wow, this has been amazing. I've loved this. Thank you so much, Maria. And
Thanks.
we'll speak again, I'm sure.
It was lovely speaking to you. My favourite subject.
And mine.
Thanks so much for tuning in to Feng Shui Your Way. I can't wait to share more insights and inspirations with you in the next episode. Remember, life is all about creating harmony and welcoming positive energy into your world. Until next time, stay balanced and keep your energy flowing.